This episode is dedicated to Tim McNess, someone who was a beloved member of our community, one of the original superstars, and someone who loved running so dearly. I know this episode would have spoken to him. Tim, we miss you. We're sending love to your family. Thank you for the light that you shared in this world. Welcome to Running for Real, a global community with a shared love and curiosity for running. Together we reconnect with the reasons why we love to run and discover ways it helps us become better people. Whether it's the quiet moments of a morning run while the rest of the world still sleeps, or befriending the strangers next to you at the start line of a race, we are here to connect with others who see running as the common thread that weaves our lives together. Come join me, Tina Muir, as I talk with people from all walks of life, united by a love of running. Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode 322 of the Running for Real podcast. Thank you for joining me. I'm excited that you are here and excited to give you a bit of an inside conversation between a friend and I who recently spent a lot of hours together in one go, and you are going to hear about that journey we made together, but more importantly, his journey across the US, running 3,234 miles across 13 states, 132,000 feet in elevation, and fewer than 400 people are known to have crossed the US on foot. I want to just make a comparison here, because to me, when I heard 400, I was like, wow, that's quite a lot. But actually, that's fewer people than summited Mount Everest last spring alone. Pretty impressive. So I'm excited to welcome Mike Wardian onto the show. I have interviewed Mike Wardian on Run to the Top when I hosted that podcast, and he has got all kinds of records. He is known in the space, not only for his ultra running, but also for just these weird and wacky records he goes for. He's also run 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 days. He previously held the world record for the fastest marathons on a treadmill and while pushing a stroller. He is always the kind of guy to just have fun with endurance. And you're going to hear about some of the things he has coming up in this episode. This is very fun and just between two friends. And I hope you enjoy this one. I really love this conversation. This guy is such a gift to our space, and you're going to hear how, in addition, he was very special to me in that he was the one that got me into guiding. And you know that I love to be a guide now. I finally want to mention, I forgot to ask him about the movie that is being made about his running across the US journey. That will be coming out not long after you listen to this, so be sure to go check that out or follow along with him if you do not already. So let's go ahead and meet Mike Wardian. Hi friends, just want to take a moment to let you know about what we are doing at Patreon. We are making something new, something exciting. We're building community for you. The one thing that I wanted to do initially with these together runs was that I wanted us to build a sense of community. I made them because we felt so disconnected. We had our phones, but all we were seeing was perfection. All we were seeing was parts of people's lives that just seemed so good. And I wanted to find a way where we could feel like we were really there together. So even though we can't run with each other in person, we can't often meet up, this is a way to bring us together. And that was something that was the main reason of why I created Together Runs, which goes with the original theme of Running for Real, which was to not have people feel alone. So that is why I created these. And I'm continuing to create these, keeping the original parts of the nature check-in, the body scan, the senses check-in, the how are you really, and the conversational piece. But I'm excited to tell you that now we are stepping them up. And over on Patreon, you can go join me for some travel together runs. So we are going to go to Chicago, to San Francisco, to Lake Tahoe, to New York, and we are going to go explore those areas together. It's really going to feel like you are with me exploring. We're keeping those core elements, but we're making something exciting. that is one level. If you want to step up to the next level, there will be live Q&As with you and I. You will have the opportunity to ask upcoming guests your question, and plenty of time to think of those questions, including a big guest we have coming up very soon. There will also be additional benefits that you can go find out over there, including how to get yourself a training plan that can change your life. It doesn't require certain paces. It doesn't require you to be a certain fitness. It isn't a training plan that's a one and done. This can be used over and over and over again because it's all effort-based and it is all based on where you are at now. That is one place you can go get that. You can join in with our community. We can talk about the answers to the questions in those together runs. And I really am loving seeing those of you over there. So head on over to patreon.com/runningforreal. That's patreon.com/runningforreal with the number 4. That's running for real with the number 4. There's also links all over the show notes or wherever you are listening to this. So come join us on Patreon. It is something really exciting. Especially if you are feeling disconnected, especially if you are feeling lonely, this is the place to go. I can't wait to see you there. Mike, welcome. I can't believe I'm saying welcome for the first time, but I have interviewed you before, but not on Running for Real. Welcome to the Running for Real podcast. I am excited that we're having this conversation. Thanks for joining me.
Man, I'm excited too. It's so good to see you and hear your voice.
I know. Well, last time we saw each other, we spent a good, I think it was 12, 13 hours together.
More than that because we saw each other the day before too. So
true. So I spent basically, probably was like 18, 20 hours with you within a weekend, which is the most time we've ever spent together. But yes, I loved every moment of it. We're going to talk about why that is in just a minute. But I want to begin with, for the listeners who haven't come across, who weren't listeners of Run to the Top, who may not know, I'm sure they've heard of a lot of the records you've broken. We're going to talk about a lot of those things today. But tell us a little bit about how you would describe yourself, because you are someone, there are so many words you could use to describe Mike Gordian. So what would you say?
I don't know. I guess the way that I've described myself is I'm a father. We have two kids, Pierce, mm-hmm. who's 16, and Grant, who's 13. I'm a international ship broker, partner in a company that does humanitarian food aid. I'm a professional athlete, most focused on running and endurance events, so marathons and ultra marathons. I'm a failed beekeeper. I'm a chess player, and now a addicted pickleball aficionado. And then I also am a Vizsla owner. So I guess there's a lot of ways that I could be described, but a lot of people mostly know me for my running and marathons and ultra marathons.
Mm-hmm. I love hearing that and the things that you came up with there. And there's obviously so much more. There's a few things I want to dig into before we get into the meat of this. One is you said a chess player, which makes me very, like, kind of bring home how I knew you were excited or stoked, I think, as you said, at the time when we went past the World Chess Hall of Fame and we stopped there in St. Louis.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I just got goosebumps.
That, now I see how big of a deal that must have been if you mentioned it in your description of yourself.
Yeah, and I'm on a super big tilt at the moment. I've lost like a couple hundred rating points because I've just been trying new things. But it's such a beautiful game. And actually, you probably don't know this, but there was a huge amount of controversy in the chess world from St. Louis because Magnus Carlsen, the current world champion, refused to play this guy, Hans Niemann, or he actually quit the tournament after he lost to Hans Niemann and accused the guy of cheating. So there's like a massive scandal in the chess world right now.
I feel like I heard something about that, right?
Yeah, so no, like if it's even touched you, who like doesn't pay attention to chess, but it's like, unbelievably spicy at the moment with
interesting.
And it's really hard to cheat an over the board chess. So like now people are like, did he have like an implant in his ear or like somebody in the room? And like, are they going to have new procedures in place? And no, it's crazy. So yeah, it's a big deal. It's kind of like when the new shoes came into like the carbon shoes and like everyone's just in a huff and like taking sides and like,
I'm still in a huff.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's good to know that running isn't the only world that has drama from time to time.
Oh my God. There's so much drama. Same with like pickle. Oh my God. There's so much drama in pickleball. It's just crazy. Like I'm learning about all kinds of new different little parts of the world, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning that I've been lucky to be able to join like a really good group here in the DC area. And even within the group, there's drama, you know? It's
interesting.
Yes.
Can I awkwardly do this on a podcast? Can I have you make me a promise that if you ever come across Brené Brown, well, pickleballing, you will tell her about your good friend, Tina.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Is she a pickleball player?
Oh, she loves pickleball.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
That's my way in to meet her someday is pickleball. Yeah.
Oh my
gosh.
Loves
pickleball.
If you need someone to drill with, let me know, man. I'm trying to go pro. So I've got a lot of work to do.
Let's talk about that then. Cause you just told me before we started recording that you are going to go and try and set the world record for the longest match in pickleball, which just blows my mind. So tell us about where that came from. You're Mike Wardian, so it's pretty obvious to know where that came from. You like to challenge yourself, but tell us the thinking behind that.
I'm talking to some pickleball companies about becoming one of their athletes, and one of the things I like to do is like from time to time, like look at world records. And I said, oh my God, there's some pickleball world records. And then.
Your reaction like, wow, that's a long time, or I could easily do that?
Oh, I was like, no, man, that was for sure in my wheelhouse, like 24 hours. I think the world record right now for singles is 24 hours and 13 minutes. And I wanted to do it as a fundraiser for World Vision, too. So I thought, oh, this would be a great way to raise awareness for pickleball. It'd be a great way to raise awareness for World Vision. It would be a fun challenge to just see if I could do it for that long, knowing that I can run for, days at a time, I figured would be good, but it's also going to be a fun challenge for like trying to find someone to play with me for that long. So like,
you have to have the same person.
Well, see, I wasn't sure at first. And so now I'm like really deep into speaking to Guinness about what's required. So it needs to be the same two people, I think, the entire time. So I thought it would be cool where you could have like somebody come in every half hour or so and like, maybe they donate $50 to World Vision. They get to play for half an hour and then you move to the next person or, you have your friends come and they all take like a little shift and then, but it needs to be the same two people. So now I'm on the hunt for somebody else that wants to spend, the record for singles is 24 hours and 13 minutes. So I'm pretty sure.
Does the record have both names on it?
I think so. Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Okay. Well, if anyone listening is a endurance pickleball player, they can let you know.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I've got some people that are interesting, but it's also not just that. You have to find like a venue where you can be able to do it for the entire time. So I've kind of been talking to a place about that. I'm still running a lot, so I have a bunch of races coming up, so I just have to find like a weekend where I can make it happen or a day of the week where it'll work.
So one more question on that. You casually dropped in there, I'm talking to Guinness. How does one talk to Guinness World Records? Is this like an email support or do you have them online?
On speed dial? I do not have a retainer with them, no. but you can just go to their website and I have an account. So like I
this guy again.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of times it depends what you're trying to do. Like, it's surprising, man. They actually charge quite a bit of money for setting world records if you are doing it. You know, if you're doing it for yourself, like, it's not that expensive. But if you're doing it for a charity, for some reason, it gets expensive, which seems like counterintuitive. Like, it should be like the other way around, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I'm not the one that decides that. And so, so there's depends how much you want to spend, how much conversations you can have. I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for the insight there.
It's really weird, man. Like, and also you can expedite it kind of like your passport, you know? So like if you, and it depends, like if you want somebody to be there also, like if you want an instantaneous like presentation, like you see on like the Today Show or something, like that is a whole different level of service and cost associated with it.
Wow. Wow. There's a lot of levels involved in this. This is Yeah, way more complicated than I would have ever thought it would be. Thanks for
I'm well versed in what it takes. And then also like just the documentation too. So like there's there's a big reporting requirement because they want to make sure that it's legit.
Yeah.
So and that's fine. Like I want to make sure it's legit too.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on and talk about I mentioned we spent this time together. I have kind of alluded to something that you were doing. So earlier this year, you started in, was it May?
I started May 1st, yeah.
May 1st. And you ran the entire length of the US, primarily on Route 50, and you wanted to finish in 75 days. You smoked that and did it in 62. So that's, for the listeners, that's 3,234 miles, 13 states, 132,000 feet in elevation change. And you were on your feet for between 11 and 15 hours of a day and covered an average of 52 miles. Now you've had some time to digest it, I guess. When you hear that, does that sound to you like, wow, 3,234 miles, 132,000 feet in elevation change, 52 miles a day for 62 days, or roughly? What comes to mind when you hear that now?
I mean, it seems impressive. I'm stoked that it actually happened. It seems like a dream. Like, it seems like and it was a dream. Like, it was a dream for years and years, like a 20, 25 year dream or something. So, to have it actually come to fruition and to have it end up going, you know, as well as it could have, I'm unbelievably excited about it. Like, and it's just weird. Like, I knew that I would, have some, residual effects from like what it meant to do that, like just like putting your body through that day after day for that many days in a row. And so it's been fun to kind of navigate like returning, like recovery, and then kind of returning to sport and seeing what that feels like. And so that's also been interesting, like how do you get back from that, what you've done to your body. I felt like at the end of that, I could have kept doing that for the rest of my life. Like, I was, so strong, and just honed for that ability and that kind of volume each and every day. But when you stop and then you kind of let your body recover, you realize, oh wow, that was a big effort. And so, kind of figuring out like, how do you get back from that has been kind of interesting. And, I'm still kind of testing myself. Like, this past weekend I did a 100 miler and ended up dropping at 50 miles. And I was happy to be done. So like, it was cool just to like know my body could make it 50 miles, and it felt really comfortable and familiar. But I wasn't ready to go much further. Like, I was tired and cold and ready to be done. And so, I'm curious to see, how my recovery continues to progress. And I've got a couple of marathons and 50 Ks coming up this fall. And Really excited to see, you know, how those go and how I feel and kind of where I am. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing some shorter races, but, this past weekend was the longest I've gone since the run across the country. And, yeah, that's been interesting just to, like, you know, have really good days and then have days where you're just kind of exhausted. And so, I'm trying to be kind to my body and, you know, come back and as quick as I can, but also, like, you know, being mindful that I did, you know, did a big thing and, need to, you know, recover from it.
Do you feel like that experience helped you be more attuned to the small changes in your body day to day that previous ultras, maybe you had been coming back from it and maybe had a day where you didn't feel great, but enough to push through, but maybe this experience and having to be so attuned to how much you needed to slow down or speed up or eat food or whatever, stop. Did that give you like an extra level of ability to read your body, would you say?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think I was so finely tuned as to like what I needed to do. And disciplined, like I was incredibly like disciplined. I think you saw it when we were running, but at, like every hour or so I would stop, drink, put on sunscreen, you know, put on lube, like just switch socks, take off my shoes, like and I knew I needed to do that to be able to keep going. And so like if I pushed a little bit too fast, like it would just be bad for the next day. And so like I think I think known what I was capable of, but this really allowed me to go to a place that I haven't been before and dig much deeper. And I think that, you know, I really continued to push myself further than I ever have and dug deeper and went to a place that I haven't been before. And so knowing that, I know that I can use that for other events and races. Mm-hmm. But you have to rebuild that well. So like you've basically taken everything out of the bank that you've built up over the years. And now I'm just stacking it back in there. Right. So like allowing my body to come back and start to feel strong. And then as soon as I started to feel really good again, like I got COVID and, that was ridiculous because I haven't had COVID in the entire time that it's been around. So it's been, you know, two and a half, almost 3 years. And, it destroyed me. Like I was, very sick, for a week and a half, 2 weeks. And then, it took about another 3 weeks and I'm just starting to feel good. Like, so I got it in kind of the, beginning of August, had to drop out of a couple of bike races that I had planned and then, finally starting to feel better in the middle of September. And so like, you know, right as I thought I was like, oh man, I'm good from the run across the country, got COVID. And then I've been really careful about trying to avoid getting long COVID. And I know a lot of athletes have come back really fast from COVID and then end up setting themselves back. And so I'm starting to feel like I'm finally over that. And, like I've been able to train through, but like not at the level that I usually do. And so
yeah.
I'm being really careful about not pushing too hard, too fast.
Well, that's, you know, I'm obviously sorry to you went through that. And, especially as you said, you were just starting to get your body back. And I can imagine this is one of those challenging things where, you have, you know, done this 62 days of doing this all day, every day. You made it, as you said, you felt like you could keep going. Then you recognize, as you said, how much you've withdrawn from the bank account, essentially, and you have to put back in. But runners, we're not really particularly patient. And you especially are someone who races a lot, who does a lot, who has 27,000 things at the same time, brewing around in your mind. And so I got to imagine that was really tough. Did you learn anything about yourself in that time of just, as you said, the threat of long COVID was looming over your head, but I had to have to imagine that urge to get back out there, especially as you'd already had a downtime, was pretty strong.
Oh, it was incredibly strong. Like, I'm really happy. Like, I work with a guy, Josh Cox. He's my agent, and he basically was like, "Dude, you don't go back out. Don't go back out yet." And he was really like, "Hey, man, like, I've got a bunch of athletes that I've worked with that came back too fast. You take your time." And I mean, it's nice to hear that. I mean, my wife, Jennifer, wasn't, you know, excited about me, you know, pushing, either, but it's nice to hear it, from somebody that's worked with other, you know, high-end athletes, that are, you know, we want to be back out there doing what we love to do. I mean, that's just part of life. And it's part of, you know, being at the highest level is like, you want to compete and you want to, you know, continue to train at a high level. And sometimes like it's really hard, and it's not an injury like a, you know, a broken ankle or, a strained, you know, hamstring or something where, you know, it stops you from running. It's kind of like plantar fasciitis where it just sucks all the joy out of running, but it's like completely, you can run through plantar fasciitis. It just makes you want to like rip your eyes out. So I didn't feel good for a while. Right. And then you don't really feel like training and you don't want to be around people to, you know, infect other people. And so like, you know, I was able to do stuff on my own. But I was glad that I took the time, and I really just, you know, have been focusing on other stuff. So like I've been working on pickleball and, strength training and kind of trying to put also like I depleted my body. Like I went from about 140. I started, I think, at 146 pounds. And by the end, I was down to like 134 pounds. So I've been trying to put the weight back on. And then also the muscle that I lost. Like I made a sacrifice to the running gods of all my muscles that I had built up before the event. So like, I'm trying to get back my little tiny little CrossFit muscles. And, and so like, that's been fun too, is like, you know, starting to do like all the stuff that I normally do as far as strength training and building up my body that way. And, and then the running I know is going to come. And, and then what else I wanted to get my speed back. Cause I think you and I were talking when we were running, but I was running really slow for me. Yeah. And like, I was really good at running slow. Like that's awesome. And at the end of the run, I was able to run a little bit faster, but, I want to get, you know, kind of that top end speed back. So I've been working on my 5K speed and doing some track workouts and, you know, kind of getting that, you know, 5K, 10K. I did a half marathon. I want to be fast again. And that's been cool too, is just to like focus on the, you know, the speed work and getting a little bit quicker. Now that I have such a huge base, like it should be great.
Thank you to Allbirds for sponsoring this episode of the Running for Real podcast. Now you have heard me talking about Allbirds, how they want to just make better choices, do things that have been done in the past in a better way. They are a carbon neutral company, and they are funding high impact carbon projects to, in addition to natural materials, to make that a reality. But before they do that, they get the footprint of each item that they make so that they have the whatever kilogram of carbon per item, and then they are able to reduce that to make it carbon neutral. Now, I've been talking about the carbon footprint, how we need to start talking about this, and how we need clothing brands to really own their number. And that's where they're going to be able to make a difference by cutting that down. But today I want to talk to you about one specific thing. I've talked about Allbirds as a whole. You've probably seen that I've been doing lots of Allbirds events lately. And I want to say, if you have not been to one of the Allbirds events and I'm coming to a place near you, these are so inclusive and empowering and supportive. I am absolutely loving the the diversity and the richness of the stories and the people that are coming to these events. Every event I do with Allbirds, everyone walks away feeling empowered and strong and just connected. These are beautiful events. So if you have the opportunity, if you are going to be in Chicago on October 7th, come to the Allbirds event on that evening. You can find out more in my social media. And if you are going to be, if you are in San Francisco, there's also an event on the 13th I would love for you to attend. And finally, if you're going to be at the New York Marathon, there is going to be an event on the 4th of November. So I would love to see you there. Find out more in the newsletter. But anyway, I want to talk to you today about the women's performance sports bra. This bra I wore at the Venice Beach event a few weeks ago. Honestly, one of the best bras I've worn in my entire life. It was so supportive, so comfortable. I wore it from 8 a.m. all the way through to 10 p.m. Didn't change, didn't shower, didn't smell. And it was so comfortable, very supportive. And I just encourage you to go check it out. You can check out the Women's Performance Sports Bra by going to allbirds.com. It's got this open back to allow maximum airflow. It's got removable cups, but not the cups that keep folding into themselves. Let me just add that. And it's high support enough to be able to handle running. So go check it out at allbirds.com, the women's performance sports bra. Yeah, no, I'm excited to see what happens there as you work through that. And the good thing about speed is it doesn't take that long to come back once you consistently do it. So yeah, it'll be good to see it. And I want to... we'll dig into some of the parts of the run. You started, was it San Francisco?
Yes.
Started in San Francisco. And I want to tell the story, if it's okay with you, of how I ended up with you. So I don't know why, but one day I logged into my Instagram and I hadn't seen anything from Mike in a long time. I don't know why. Algorithms, whatever. And I see a thing with Mike standing next to a sign saying, "Welcome to Missouri." And I'm like, "Missouri? What is he doing in Missouri?" And so I looked it up and I saw he was running across the US. So I proceeded to I can't remember if I texted you or messaged you or something. I said, "Oh, you know, I'd love to come run with you. You're close to me now." And we set that up for the next day. And you tried to, I don't know if you were trying to put me off, but you were like, "I don't know if you realize how slow I'm running." And I said, "Oh, no, no, it's fine." And you were like, "No, no, really, really, like, think about this. Are you sure?" And I was like, "It's fine." And it was. And I came around with you the next day, making the absolute worst decision ever of where I parked. It took us like 2 hours to get home. My husband and my parents actually were around. And during that day, you strategically poked my competitive bear that had been hibernating and said to me about... running with you the next day. And I said about how I'd been thinking about doing an ultra and I'd had two attempts and neither of them had gone through. And you said, "Well, you could," I can't remember how it came about, but you basically said you could do it with me. And we quickly decided that me going from not running more than 4 hours to running for 12 hours might be a bit too much. But you said, like, "The longest anyone has done is 32 miles, I think it was at the time. You said you could do that." And I kind of was thinking about it for a while you were talking to other people. But by the time I left you that day, I had decided
It was official yet. No, I don't know if you had told me. You said you had to check with your family.
I had decided that I was going to do it, but I wanted to check with my parents was visiting me. And so I was well aware I was going to sacrifice one of my days with them and obviously put extra strain on my husband with my kids. So I went home and they gave me the all clear. And so the next morning at 6 a.m., I met you. And do you remember what I said to you when we first started?
No.
I said to you, we crossed a road within like 30 seconds. Do you remember what I said?
No.
I said, "Do I stop my watch when we go across, when we stop?" And you were like, "Absolutely not." Because I didn't know. So I thought I was supposed to stop my watch anytime we stopped.
You can put that in your Strava settings, but no, it doesn't count that way.
So then we had a huge group that morning. It was such a beautiful start to the day. It was humid, but we went down to the St. Louis, the World Chess Hall of Fame. We went through some other areas. We rubbed a Bilkins belly.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we did.
And then we went to the arch and said goodbye to most
everyone.
People. Yeah, there was one guy that went with us. I can't remember what his name was, who went across the bridge with us.
Well, I think because he was parked at the casino.
Yeah. So he went across, but then quickly we found ourselves in East St. Louis, solo, the sun starting to cook us like little fried eggs.
Oh my God.
It was so hot.
And, it was so hot.
And it was so surreal, wasn't it? I mean, East St. Louis, it felt like it had been forgotten. We saw trees coming out of the second floor of buildings. There was barely anyone out. It was, I think a moment for me, I will never forget. I felt a lot of sadness. But also it really did feel like we were in I Am Legend.
Yeah, it was that's so what I was just about deserted. To say.
Yeah, I think we did say that at the time. So then we came out of there and we went, and then we really like just died in the heat. We were both struggling in this 95 degree heat, just relentless.
Yeah.
And then we got some ice things and that just turned a corner and it was good. So what I want to do next is I want to play something for the listeners just because. So I ended up running 34 miles with Mike that day. A little bit annoyed at myself that I called my husband to pick me up because I wanted to gauge it that I knew he would have about a 40 minute drive. So I didn't want to go over what I could handle. But I also think I could have done to 40 with you. And so I was a little bit annoyed at myself for that. But I want to play for the listeners. So Mike has been doing this all day, every day. It was hot, as so hot. And yet this is the kind of person that Mike is. Okay, I'm going to play this on my phone. I've never done this on the podcast, so hopefully it works. But let's turn the volume up. All right. So that was us finishing my 34 miles, my longest run of my life, my first ultra. And yeah, I was so thankful to you for that experience. So publicly, I want to thank you again for nudging me to do that and just being the best running companion. But that was such a special memory in my life. So thank you.
Thanks, man. Well, and I think I should add on so that your listeners know how badass you are. Like, I think it was like we got to the van around 32 and a half or 33 miles. Mm-hmm. but it wasn't exactly 32 or 33 miles. Yeah. And so I think it was probably like 33.8 or something. Uh-huh. And instead of you just being like, oh, that's cool, I ran an ultra, you ran to like the end of the street so you could get to 34 miles. And that is pretty rad. So
this word makes me feel so uncomfortable. Like badass. I would say badass, but that sounds funny. That is it, or is that compulsive to which I need to let that go and just be happy with the 33.8?
No, man, I think like if that's the way that it makes you happy and it makes it a round number, because it would be weird to be like, oh, it was 33.6 or something. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't really matter because who knows based on like the GPS if it was actually right or not. But like, for you to be able to be like, oh, yeah, I ran 34 miles.
Yeah.
And well, we had the chance for you to stop at like 50K and you were like, nah, I'm going to keep going.
I know, so. I know.
And I wanted you to stay as long as possible because I just like to have company. So I definitely was trying to get you to keep going. But I think somebody else had picked up at that point. So I did have somebody to run with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you. And so was there anything else from our time together that before we move on to that you remember?
I just remember like that you didn't have a shirt on. You were just running in like a jog bra, but with like a pack for that long for the first time. And I was just worried.
Why would that be weird?
Well, because like I thought you were gonna get super chafed and from the pack, Because like you have little bony like collarbones like I do. And sometimes like in that kind of heat and humidity, and you had some pretty big bottles. And so they were just heavy. So I was like, man, I can't believe she hasn't chafed at all yet.
Well, it's funny because I was wondering the opposite. Like, why is he wearing a t-shirt when... So I was like, why is he not wearing a shirt, but you were wearing a t-shirt? So you can answer my question now.
Oh, well, that was because like I just couldn't, like I was trying to stay as covered up as possible because like the sunburn is the worst. I one day forgot to put between my my Compressport calf sleeves and my Injinjis, like there was a gap and I didn't put sunscreen on it. And I had a ring for like the next like 7 days of pain, like around my ankles. And so like that's why I was always putting on sunscreen and everything. So like, I wanted to cover up as much as possible, but it also just helps. It's almost like if you ever see the people at Badwater, like you'd think like everyone would be running like in jog bras and like and shirtless, but actually like it's better to be covered. It's kind of like at Marathon des Sables or something like. Or you see like those.
I have not been to those races, yeah. But you're exposing my amateurness of this world.
Like, no, I mean it's fine. Like I was just happy you were there and like. Yeah. Like, yeah, you did a great job. I was really impressed. And you were able to eat a lot more than I expected too, because a lot of times when people first do an ultra, like they forget to eat. I think there were a couple of times I maybe mentioned like you should probably eat something, but you were doing a good job, like staying on top of your nutrition. So that was impressive also.
Well, thank you. In my lifetime, I've had a few too many situations where I've run out of energy and it don't want to inflict that upon myself. Although I know I will at some point in the ultra world if I get like a, you know, nauseous stomach or something. But
well, that's what I was impressed. Make it there, yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing that was impressive too is like it's really hard to eat in that type of weather. Like, and you were able to put down food. I mean, it was nice that we could get out of the heat. Like, I think if we weren't able to jump in the RV, that would have been harder, you know?
For sure. No, that was.
And then I also was impressed with how comfortable you are in some of those sections, because like I had heard of, you know, kind of everyone saying like, don't go through East St. Louis and like, it's so dangerous. And you were just, like it was basically just you and me and nobody. So, and like, it was like, it could have been, you know, scary. And you were also, I should say, pretty comfortable, like running in traffic. Like it took me a couple days to get, used to like, that feeling. And so like you picked that up pretty quick. And I don't know, maybe if you were just like, wow, I mean, if it's a, like, he's been doing this long enough, he knows what he's doing. But, yeah, you picked up like not being terrified of the cars, you know, much, much quicker than I did. Probably.
That's funny. Well, the East St. Louis, I was a bit nervous about, but I very much believe in not living life by the what ifs. And while I had as well had people saying like, don't go through there, I also understood that there are people there. They're just humans. And we were going through at 9:30 in the morning. It wasn't, you know,
but it was spooky. I mean, it was like deserted, dude. Like there was like tumbleweeds. But it was fine. Like the people were super cool. Like, and like, that's what I think is so interesting is like, you know, people that have probably never been there telling us not to go there. Whereas, you know, that's like, if you look at the media for the US, you'd think like everyone's, you know, walking around in constant fear because of all the bad stuff that goes on. But that's just like anywhere. I mean, there's bad stuff that happens, you know, right outside like my neighborhood. Like someone got stabbed on the bike trail the other day. Like it's terrible that, you know, stuff like that happens. But again, I think that your mindset is right. It's like, I don't want to live in fear. I want to do these things. And, you know, if something's going to happen, you know, I'm going to try to put myself in the best spot that it's not going to be severe and, you know, it probably won't happen.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that gets me is we all get in cars every day.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I remind myself. We get in cars every day and there's car accidents constantly. So The other thing, the traffic thing, I actually want to address this because this morning I did a really random thing. I came across these three men who were about to start a workout. I didn't know this at the time. I spoke to them. I ended up doing the workout with them, these random people I'd never met.
Like and a track workout? Or?
No, we were just on the roads around where I live. And
Wait, you were driving or running?
No, I was just running on my own.
Okay.
I came across them and I said, are you guys running for a while? It was dark. So I was like, I'd rather be with people. And these were three men together. And so I just, they said, well, we're going to do a workout if you want to join. And I was like, okay. So I did. But on the way back, they kept saying to me like, tuck in, tuck in. And they kept saying car coming. And they said, Tina, move over, move over. And I was like, it's fine. That car is gotten. So I said to them this morning, I said, in England, and I know you've been to England, but I don't know if you would have come across this, but people almost like graze your elbow as you're running when they drive past you. And so to me over here, I find it quite comical that people like cars give you like a car's width of space. And anything less than that, people are like, oh, too close, too close. So yes, I am more comfortable running in traffic than most, I think, which may come to my demise someday. I hope not. But
I hope not too. No, I feel like that is true. I feel like the cars also brush each other in England that close.
Yes. I know. It's quite stressful, I'm sure, for you. All the Americans that have ever been with me get so stressed the first time they're there because the cars,
like the country lanes.
But I think people over there are generally much better drivers, so can handle being like that close to one another and just used to it. But
yeah.
Okay. I want to get back to what you were doing. So you had, you know, we ran together for part of it. You alluded to that you had other people for parts of it. You also spent a lot of time alone. And I want to add right now that I really love, and if you haven't already seen Mike's Instagram, if you can go back, you did every day, you did 10 things you learned, was it? Or 10 things you observed or?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That was cool. Like, I'm really glad I did that. I did not love doing that every night when I was just exhausted.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad I did that.
And so what were some of the things that you learned in those days by yourself that are still in your mind now? I mean, I'm sure a lot of that has kind of gone to the back of your memory to be triggered by something at some point, but are there some things that you, in those hours and hours running alone, I think the day before I saw you the first time, you said you'd run the whole day yourself or maybe had someone for an hour or something. Yeah. Tell us about some of the things that stick in your mind now.
Yeah. I mean, I think I did. I've said in a couple of places, like I'd say I had a lot of people come out and I really wanted it to be like a Forrest Gumpy experience. And I definitely had that. And I think you saw that when we were in St. Mm-hmm. Louis. But you also saw like the flip side of that, like after it gets out of the city or like where people don't want to go or it gets like the heat of the day, everyone's like, okay, dude, I'm done. Like I've been running for 6 hours and I'm ready to be done. And like, I totally get that, man. You know, that's just the way it works. And so I'd say what I learned being alone is, I mean, I had a lot of time to reflect on things. I was, very, happy with, you know, what I've done so far in my life. Like, I feel like that was one of the things, like I was very, very happy about the choices I've made. Like, I feel like a lot of people, that do this are looking for something. And I think that, I was definitely looking to see, you know, what it would mean for me as a person. And like, I've, been really excited about how I've evolved as a person and an athlete over the years. And so like that reflecting on that and just kind of having a moment, like, it's so hard to extract ourselves from our lives, like, and just have time to like, think about, you know, what you've done so far and what you want to do going forward. So like, I was really happy to have that time. I think I also spent the time, kind of educating myself. So I listened to a lot of audiobooks. So I think it was 35 different audiobooks about all ranging subjects from kind of like the history of the world to like trashy vampire novels. So like,
do you find you could concentrate to listen enough though?
Oh like, yeah, with totally.
Books, I zone out. You listen, you were able to pay attention.
Oh yeah, I'm always listening to something. And I also listen at like 2x speed so that I can listen to even more stuff. So yeah, so there was that. And then I thought I liked music before this, but now I really love music. And so just, I don't know, there's something like just powerful about a good song. And like I learned, I think, I don't know if I asked you, but I was asking most people like, about their favorite bands to see if like I had any bands that I didn't know. So I learned a lot of new music. So I thought that was great. But then also I think just looking around, like just how much I love America. Like I was surprised at like how much beauty I found almost everywhere I went. Like it could be like a longhorn steer or like a field full of like groundhogs or, and just how vast the country was and just like how, just how, yeah, how different little places are in the US. And again, I mean, you mentioned this at the beginning, but I saw, you know, the entire length of the US, but mostly along Route 50. So like kind of like, you know, the middle of the US, you know, from west to east, San Francisco to Rehoboth Beach in Delaware. I was surprised that there weren't more cities like along that route. Like there was like two cities at the beginning. I went San Francisco to Sacramento. And then like the next big city was maybe St. Louis. Like it was
really,
yeah, wow. it was crazy. Like you would think like there would be more, like I was close to Kansas City, but I wasn't actually near, like I didn't go to Kansas City. So yeah. So like I was surprised at just, you know, how there weren't a lot of, cities. And then, the other thing I was surprised about is just how much like people have to travel in places that aren't in cities to like just get like basic necessities. Like the people in like Ely, Nevada, like spend 4 hours going to Walmart each way. What? So it's like a 10-hour day. Yeah, it's like a 10-hour day if you want to go to like Walmart or Costco or something. So they basically drive from Ely, Nevada to like the outskirts of Vegas.
So they have like a small, like mom and pop's grocery store and that's it kind of thing.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oh
yeah. So like, just to like, and there's no like I ordered printer cartridges yesterday and they came at like 6 o'clock this morning. But like, if they wanted to get printer cartridges, it could be like a week and a half, 2 weeks to get them or something. Like yeah. It's just like stuff like that. I guess I knew, but I didn't realize because I've traveled a lot around the world and like there's places where you're like, yeah, they're not getting Amazon deliveries tomorrow. But like you'd think in the US, like you could get whatever you want whenever you want it. And that's just not the way it works. Or like everything closes at like 8 o'clock at night. Like, so I'd be done at like 6 o'clock and be like, all right, let's go get some food. And it would be like, everything's closed. And like, yeah. Oh, I'm glad we have food in the RV.
Thank you to Athletic Greens for sponsoring this episode of the Running For Real podcast. Now, you've heard me talking about Athletic Greens for years now. It allows you to say goodbye to piles of pills and countless powders. One daily serving of AG1 delivers this potent blend of 9 health products, a multivitamin, minerals, probiotics, adaptogens, and more. It's the comprehensive foundational nutrition you need with the convenience for your life demands. Now, that applies to me in a way I cannot even describe. With 2 young kids, I know I should be getting 27 different fruits and vegetables in a day, but honestly, some days I'm lucky if I can get 1 or 2 at dinner. And it is difficult for me to take care of myself with just this hectic life that I live. So while I want to make these green juices every morning, you know, with a juicer machine, with the kale and the ginger and the lemon and all those other things, I just don't have the time for it. I can barely get to stuff something down my throat to eat. And I love that I can wake up before the girls wake up, drink down my one scoop of Athletic Greens with ice cold water, drink it down, know that I've got 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients to start my day, so that even if that day ends up being hectic and running around all over the place, I know I've got that in. It tastes good. It's almost a slight pineapple-y taste. I love drinking it before I run. I drink it and go immediately out the door. It's going to help with your gut health. It's going to support your immunity. It's going to boost your energy and help with recovery. What more can you ask for with one scoop? So you can go to athleticgreens.com/Tina. You will get 5 free travel packs and a 1-year free supply of vitamin D3 and K2. Now, as we head into the winter months, that is when we need that vitamin D, and it works well with the K3 as well to absorb better. We need those to protect us from all the nasty sicknesses that are coming around. So be sure to go to athleticgreens.com/Tina to go check out my special offer and stop stressing about not getting those fruits and vegetables in. This is going to take care of you. Yeah, you did say that. And that was one thing you mentioned to me on that day we were together. You were like, I'm so sick of eating, and pieces, the hardest bit of the end of the day, and you're starving. And you said often you'd be, you know, in your hotel room, then you're suddenly starving, but there's nothing open. So you would go down to the hotel lobby. Oh, I guess the few times you were in a hotel for a few days here, and you would just get, well, I can't remember what it was, like
peanuts or whatever.
Yeah. Whatever they had, but that had to be have been a hard thing. And let's maybe dig into that a little bit, because that is, how many calories did you say you're eating? 10,000 a day?
No, I think I was burning 7,000 or 7 or 8,000, and I was trying to put that much in, but I was probably eating like 5 to 6,000.
Yeah, which is a lot. And
oh, it's so many.
How did that peak? Yeah, because you told me at the time how you were just fed up of eating, and I can imagine that being the case. You obviously knew what would happen if you didn't, but at times that just had to be the most difficult part, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the most difficult parts. And I have to say, like, my crew chief, Eric Bells, like, he did such a good job, like, coming up with, like, stuff for me to eat. So he would have, like, a vegan grilled cheese, which, like, I don't normally like the vegan cheeses. But during this run, I really took to, and it would be, like, cooked in coconut oil and like vegan butter. And like, so it'd be like 1,000 calorie, like grilled cheese, you know, and, I would, you know, try to eat that, and, lots of nut butters. Like I'd have like a peanut butter, which again, like I am pretty persnickety. I would normally just have almond butter, but peanut butter actually worked well. So I'd have like peanut butter, honey, banana, and then jam also, like on top of that. So like stuff that, you know, is just calorie dense, and you just need to keep eating and getting it in. And then, they would make me like fresh squeezed orange juice. Oh, that's the other thing. Like you can't get like fresh squeezed juice or like, there's no like smoothie places in Denver, in Colorado. I was like, my friend's like, what can I bring you? Sarah. And I was like, oh man, it'd be great to get some fresh squeezed orange juice. She's like, that just doesn't exist here. Sorry. Like, and it's
in
like,
Denver?
Well, it wasn't in Denver. It was in Silverton, but like, she's like in Telluride, and she's like, yeah, that. And she like, even from in Colorado, like she drives 1.5 hours to get her groceries.
Okay. Wow.
And it's just like a Safeway. I mean, it's not like a Whole Foods or like a Costco or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The discrepancy between places. It's crazy.
So eating was a real problem. But also like, it's something that you got to do. So like, that's why I was proud. Like I was really disciplined. Like I would just force myself to do it. So like, I would just make myself eat.
And, yeah.
Like, that's just what you got
to
do.
You have to. Yeah. Yeah. And, you said to me when we were running, I said to you, is there any part of you that worries? Like, what if you can't make it? And you turned to me and you said, I know I'm going to make it. Like, and I loved that moment that you were, there was such like a core belief that there was no doubt in your mind you were making it to the other end. So talk to us about that. Like, how could you I mean, I know it because you told me at the time, but how could you possibly know you were day, I think you ran with me like around day 50 or 40. I think it was 40 something. How could you possibly know you were going to make it? Like, what gave you that thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I knew I was going to make it because I was just dialed in. Like, I was doing everything right. Like, I wasn't allowing myself to make mistakes. And I had a great team in place. And my body was 100% just fine. Like, I mean, every day I was exhausted. And the last 10 miles were like ripping my soul out. But like, I don't know about if you saw this or not, but maybe a little bit after I saw you, I got run off the road and I popped my hamstring. And so like, that was the only thing I was worried about, is like something outside of my control, causing me not to make it, because I was not allowing myself to do anything that would jeopardize the run. And so I was being like really careful about like pace. I was like forcing myself to eat. Like, I was, wearing the right clothes. I was, putting on sunscreen. I was annoying. Like, I was annoyingly anal about ensuring that I was going to make it. And like, that's why my heart, my heart was so sad when the person like, came across the line and pushed me off the road. And then I hurt myself. And it wasn't because I was like greedy and like trying to do extra miles or, did something stupid, but just because of like circumstance. And so that was the only thing I was worried about, but I knew I would still make it. Like, if I had to walk the last 500 miles, I was going to do it. It's just, that's not the way I wanted to do the run. And so that's what made me so sad when that happened.
Yeah, no, especially as that's just, that was done with intention, that was done out of spite. And, you know, I'm sad for that person that they feel that, they're having that much trouble in their own life that they, you know, feel that anger towards someone who's just doing something that is nothing to do with them. But it was also inspiring. But thankfully, you were able to get yourself back, your body back together. And I did know. And I was reaching out to you were near Kentucky. I was reaching out to the therapists and chiropractors that I knew, like, if you needed it. You didn't in the end, but I was like ready to tell them, like, get up there, go help him out.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I reached out to like my trainer and he's like, is it black and blue? And I was like, no. And he's like, can you move it? And I'm like, I can't really pick my leg up. And I was like, I guess I'm gonna just start tomorrow and see how it goes. And and yeah, luckily, like, after a half hour, I was like, all right, it doesn't feel like it's, like, I feel like I can actually pick my leg up. And then like, well, I might as well just start running and see what happens. And then I was like, okay, like, as long as I don't go too fast, which is not a problem because I wasn't going too fast, then it's fine. And then by the end of the day, it was just fine. But like, it was so scary, man. Like, I was, I've been mad a lot in my life, but never as mad as I was.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah, it's funny because I know I was, and I would imagine some other people maybe listening to this, or maybe just who had run with you at previous points, like, that whole day I felt stressed for you. Like, I was watching your tracker. I was like, is he okay? Like, where is he? Like, I feel like I was nervous for you.
Oh,
and I think a lot of other people were too, because you get invested. We were like invested in you. We wanted you so badly to do it. And so, it was a relief when I spoke to you at the end of that day and you said you were good to go.
Yeah,
I want to talk about the one piece we haven't mentioned yet, which is that you raised over $100,000 for World Vision, which helps families around the world get access to clean drinking water. I have to admit, when we were running together, I think you'd raised like 39, 40 something thousand.
Yeah, and dude, it was like, not a lot.
Wow, like, how is he going to... And was there that piece of it where you were you feeling a little bit any pressure, like, I've set this goal, I want to raise this, doesn't look great right now? And obviously you knew it would pick up towards the end, but
I did not know that, Tina. Like, I was like, oh man, well, I mean, 40,000 is still a lot. It's like maybe 4 or 5 times the amount that I've ever raised. But what was so cool is just to see like how many people, like you said, were invested. And then the people at World Vision were like, oh, you'll be surprised at how many people, you know, we'll come in at the end. And I was like, okay, maybe, that'll be cool. Like, but it was absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. Like the amount of like interest and support. And then it's so cool because like, I feel like it almost builds on itself because like mm-hmm. someone will be like, oh, I donated $5. And then someone else will be like, I donated $10. And then somebody like, a friend of mine owns a company. He's like, I want to donate the most. And so he put in like, you know, a couple $1,000. And then somebody else was like, well, if somebody put in 3,000, I'm going to put in 4,000. And then all of a sudden, yeah, we got to the goal of 100,000. And it's been crazy. It's over 121,000 now. And I just had a check come in from a company I work with for another $1,000. So it's been, incredible to see the amount of support. And I think one of the coolest things, and this is something that I'm really proud of, is that we had the most individual, like different people donating of any of the World Vision charity people.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So like, yeah. I think it was over 1,000 different people donated.
Amazing.
And organizations. So
yeah,
that's really cool to just see how many people decided this was worthwhile and got interested. And now it's made me like want to reach out for a bigger, even, you know, a bigger goal with these guys and change more lives. I mean, I think the cool thing is every $50 changes one person's life. So like, yeah. it's really tangible when you think of it that way, is like, wow, and it's not just like a temporary thing. It's like a lasting impact that has like a lot of downstream benefits, you know? So it's, and they're the largest non-governmental provider of clean water in the world. So like World Vision is like helping people all over the world have access. And I'm excited about like getting the chance to see where these funds are going to be utilized too. That's one of the things I'm really excited about.
Yeah. I hope you have taken some time to reflect on that. Like that's changing the world. Like you are changing the lives of, I can't even do the math to figure out how many people that is.
I think it was over 2,200 people right now.
I mean, that's crazy. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, that's like bigger than like a high school. Like, it's pretty insane. And it's not me, obviously. It's like the running community and the people that that are part of this. So, like, I mean, I was just the catalyst, and I think that's what's really cool. It's like
you pull people together, which is the piece that, you know, otherwise they wouldn't. Yeah, you know, I don't know if I would.
Well, they probably wouldn't know about it. I mean, there's so many great charities. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they might already have a charity they're working with, or, you know, they just, it's just one of those things. You just don't know about it until you know about it.
No, absolutely. Well, thank you, because I just got a letter in the mail from them the other day. So,
Okay. Are you going to come to LA and run? I'm going to try to set the Guinness World Record as Forrest Gump in LA Marathon.
Oh, you're going to dress as Forrest Gump?
Yeah, and break the world record as Forrest Gump. Yeah,
that's
it's like 2:36. It should be pretty fast. So it'll be a good challenge.
Okay, well, I don't know if I'll be supporting you there, but I will be from here. I want to do I am going to see you, though, when this comes out within a few weeks. We are both running New York as guides. I want to just spend a few minutes talking about that. You and I are both love to be guides or support persons for visually impaired runners and other runners in the community that need support of some kind. So we're both going to be in New York.
Yep.
I want you to do your best pitch to tell people, because as I mentioned to you then, and as I've mentioned many times, you, Mike Wardian, were the person that told me about guiding, and I would not be guiding without you. So yeah, do your best pitch to get everyone listening to go sign up.
Well, I think, I mean, the best pitch is like, you're going to help somebody achieve their dream. Right. So like, and I mean, we can just end it at that. Like, I think like if there's something that you can do in your power to help somebody else, and then I'd say the other benefit for me is like, you get a chance to make a new friend a lot of times. Like, sometimes I run with the same person, but a lot of times I don't. It's a chance to, you know, I've done it for people as fast as like 2:31. I think I'm going to go with, you know, and a lot of times like the people that are really fast have trouble finding guides that are that quick. So especially if you're, you know, a fast runner, it's hard to maybe dedicate your race to someone besides yourself, but you know, there are people that are needing guiding, that are at the sharp end of the spear, that, you know, need somebody to be with them. So if you're one of the elite runners and you've thought of this or considered it, like, please do. And if you're, you know, a regular, you know, non-elite runner, and you are thinking like, how can I use my running for good and a chance to give back to the running community? There's even more people that need guides probably in that aspect. And so it's one of those things where it feels like you're helping somebody else, but it really helps you too. Like, yeah. And so like, that's for me, one of the coolest things. It's like made me a better athlete, in that I'm just more aware of like the road and what's coming up, and like, and when you're trying to explain it to somebody that's visually impaired, it really, I'd say I know the Boston Marathon course incredibly well, but after guiding, I know it even better. And the same with Chicago. And, I haven't guided for New York, so I'm excited to get a chance to, have that experience. It's life changing, and there's so many people that need help. And without, you know, guides, it's not possible. And I would say one of the other things is like, it's not just, the race, but you're also helping the person get ready for the race. So like, in my head, I was like, oh yeah, you just do the race part, but you're actually like helping the person get to the start line, you know, get their stuff ready, go to the bathroom, like all those things. Like, you know, if the person can't see or is, an adaptive athlete and needs assistance, like someone has to do that. And so, you're really allowing them access to something just beautiful. And I mean, for me, one of the best things is crossing the finish line, but doing that, you know, helping somebody else is even better. So
it is amazing. Yeah. One, I agree with everything you just said there. One final thing I want to add, because this is always a thing people come back to me with: you do not need to have formal training. You do not need to be doing this for 15 hours before you are good at it. Like, I don't know about you, Mike, but most of the time I meet the athlete I'm running with the day before the race.
Yeah, you might do like a shakeout or something.
Yeah, the day before the race for the first time. And you just, you learn in the moment. They understand that they're used to people coming in, and they know that it's going to take a little bit of time.
And, and you can't really screw it up that bad. Like, I've screwed it up really bad, and the people are still excited. Like, like, you know, you're basically not, you know, you try not to let your person fall. And of course, my friend, my friend Brian Reynolds has fallen both times I've crewed for and paced for him. And you know, you just get back up and you keep going, you know, and it's just, you know, it's one of those things, like you can't really blow it. Like everyone's just happy to be there.
Exactly. Well, Mike, you've got, so the listeners can follow along with you in New York. You mentioned about LA, you've got your World Pickleball, you've got Marine Corps. I mean, I would say, do you ever have downtime? But you already told us you just had a little bit of it. I want to thank you for sharing with us today. Where can people go find you if they want to follow along and don't already?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best place is social media, probably. So Instagram, I'm at Mike Wardian, MikeWardian. It's the same for Twitter. And then Facebook is Michael Wardian. I have like an athlete page there. And then MikeWardian.com is a website that's, you know, it's fine. It's up there. But like, I feel like most people are finding everyone on social media these days.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for your friendship and for treating me to my first ultra. I appreciate you, and I know the listeners do too. Thanks so much.
Hey man, thanks for having me. It was so fun. I'm glad I was able to talk you into it. And thanks for letting me be there. And it was a real treat. I think you've got an incredible future. You did everything right. So
if I can ever make it to the start line of a race, which seems to be the part that's stopping me right now. But yeah, we will see. Thank you.
Well, dude, it's always hard. I mean, you've got a lot going on, but the cool thing is like, and I think you probably learned this, is like, you don't have to go to a race to do these things. Mm-hmm. So like, when the time's right, you can just go and do a fastest known time or just have your own adventure.
That's true.
Yeah.
Good advice. Thank you.
You're welcome, man.
The Running for Real podcast and everything we do here at Running for Real would not be possible if it wasn't for the Running for Real team. While I am the person who you hear from most often and maybe the face of the brand, the rest of our team are such critical pieces of what we do. And without them, I think I'd just be running around in circles with ideas. So I want to take a moment to thank our team. To Jeremy Nessel, who's been with me since the very beginning. Kat McKay, Sally Pontarelli, Kelsey Wang, Sandy Gutierrez, Louise Murphy, Andrew Basola, Alexandria Will, and Maria Vargas. Thank you to each and every one of you for all that you give to Running for Real and our community. I appreciate you, and I'm so thankful for having you as a part of the team. Thank you so much for joining. I hope you appreciated that little friendship fun conversation between us and allowed you to get to know him a little bit better, to hear how his mind works in terms of these challenges and just what he believes he can do. I love that inner confidence and strength that he has to just know in himself what he is capable of. I think we all need some lessons from that. Now, I want to remind you to go follow him along. As I mentioned at the beginning, there will be a movie, a short film coming out about his journey, and you may see another familiar face in there. And that will be coming out around now. So make sure you go follow him and you will be sure to go to see that when it does come out. I also want to remind you to go check out the links in the show notes for those ways of following him, but also to check out some of the other things Mike and I talked about, as well as our sponsors for the day. So you can go to runningforreal.com/episode322. Also want to remind you, go sign up for Patreon. I talked about it in the episode. We are doing some really exciting stuff, and I know community, I know connection is something we are missing. We have talked about it. It is so critical to what we need right now, and this is where it's going to be. I cannot wait to see you over there, to have a chat with you on a Zoom call, to take you on those really special together runs. I just can't wait to see you there. So go sign up at patreon.com/runningforreal. There's also a link in the show notes. I'll see you there. Thanks so much for listening, friends. I'll see you Monday for another together run.